Isaiah says, "Return, Israel, to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sins and receive us graciously, that we may offer the fruit of our lips. Assyria cannot save us, and we will not mount war horses. We will never again say, our gods to what our own hands have made, for in you the fatherless find compassion." The Lord says, "I will heal their waywardness and love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them. I will be like the dew to Israel. He will blossom like a lily. Like a cedar of Lebanon, he will send down his roots. His young shoots will grow. His splendour will be like an olive tree. His fragrance like a cedar of Lebanon. People will again dwell in his shade, and they will flourish like the grain. They will blossom like the vine, and Israel's fame will be like the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim, what more have I to do with idols? I will answer him and care for him. I am like a flourishing juniper. Your fruitfulness comes from me." Isaiah says, "Who is wise? Let them realize these things. Who is discerning? Let them understand. The ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but the rebellious stumble in them." This is the word of God.
Please do scan the QR code so you can have the Bible in front of you. Let me pray as we come to God's word. Oh Lord, you know each and every single one of us. You know where we're at, Lord. What we're going through, and you know where we're at spiritually before you, Lord. So now we come humbly before you with all that we are, with all of our neediness. And we pray, God, that your word would speak deeply, not only to give us understanding, but speak deeply into our hearts that we might turn to you in Jesus' name. Amen. There's something about coming home, isn't there? You can have a wonderful holiday, stay somewhere really beautiful, see great and beautiful things, eat delicious food, and you have a great time, but after a while, you just want to go home. Have you had that feeling? You know, I've been on backpacking trips where I've been away for months, and it's just like I actually feel like I want to go home now. I want my own bed. I want like my own shower, you know. I want my own pillow. There's something comforting about finally being home again. And in our lives, you know, we may travel many different places, leaving home to go on different adventures. But I think there's something deep within every single one of us that longs to be home. This morning I want to talk about a different kind of journey away from home. Not a geographical journey, but a spiritual one. Because if we're honest, there are times in our lives where we're going on a different journey that's away from God, where we're wandering away from God. Our hearts may wander. And sometimes, you know, we would wander away intentionally, dramatically even, and say, you know, I'm done with you, God, and I want to leave, and I don't want to go to church anymore. Some people do that. And sometimes we wander away, not dramatically, but almost unnoticeably, like we just drift slowly away from God. You know, we don't pray as much anymore. And we feel like, you know what, do I want to go to church today or not? How do I feel? And we may slowly drift away from God. And sometimes it's outright rebellion where we just say, you know, I'm done with God. We can do it either way. And sometimes it's influenced by all that's going on in our lives, all that's going on in your life, all the busyness that consumes you, that takes over your life, whether it's uni or work or your career that's demanding more and more of you, or your family that pulls your attention and pulls your focus away from God. And we discover that maybe sometimes we've strayed too far away from God and it feels like it's too late. It's too late to come back to God. And you feel like one day, you know what? Church may be optional these days. And I hope you never get there. But I want us all this morning to think about where you are spiritually. And not just where you are spiritually now, but the direction you're heading spiritually. Are you heading towards God, or are you drifting away from God? Now, very few people wake up one morning and say, you know what, today I am done with God, I'm walking away. Usually it's just one step, and then another, until one day you realize, you know what, I'm actually pretty far away from God. Maybe that's you this morning. Where are you at? Maybe there was a time when you loved Jesus deeply, you loved his word, you wanted to pray, you wanted to serve him, but something along the way has changed. You don't feel like that anymore. You still believe, yeah, maybe, yep, God's real, he's out there, but he's not near. Maybe he's distant. Where are you at? Or perhaps you've never really known God. You spent your whole life looking for something that will finally satisfy you, something that will make you secure, something that will tell you that you really matter. And you're looking everywhere, wondering about this world, but you haven't found the God who is your creator. Well, that's the story that we want to look at today. The people of Israel have been wandering away from God, and God today is giving us a beautiful closing chapter. For 13 chapters, we've watched Israel wander away from God. People who have chosen many other ways of life, but they didn't choose God, the God who loved them and rescued them and provided for them. And some of you have mentioned to the pastors, we've gotten feedback that Hosea just seems so heavy and so repetitive, you know, sin after sin after sin. And the reality is that that is part of the point of Hosea, that we would feel the weight of that heaviness, of that repetition, of that constant wandering away from God. Israel again and again and again and again and again, walking away from God, chasing after gods again and again, trusting other nations. They pursued their own prosperity and they looked everywhere for security and satisfaction except to the God who loved them. And there's a passage in chapter 13 that I think, this is 5 and 6, chapter 13, that I think gives a good summary of the heartbreaking reality of what God feels about how Israel, what Israel were doing. He says, I cared for you in the wilderness, in the land of burning heat. When I fed them, they were satisfied. When they were satisfied, they became proud. Then they forgot me. God saved them. God fed them. God cared for them. God satisfied them. And then they forgot him. It's not that they don't acknowledge that there's a God, perhaps, but they began living as if they didn't need God. And maybe that's been you for a little while. Now, some of you have mentioned this heaviness to us, and the beautiful thing is that this is an awesome chapter. If you've been wandering away and you've been caught in a life seeking other things and becoming distant from God, this is a chapter for you. After all this heaviness, we might think, you know, what will God do? What will God do with Israel? If, you know, if you were honest, if you and I were honest, you know, maybe some of us will think, you know, Israel, I'm done. I'm done with you. Time again and again and again, generation after generation, wandering away, you know, worshipping idols. Like, why bother anymore? But the beautiful thing about Hosea 14 is this. The first word of this final chapter, it's extraordinary. God doesn't say, I'm done, but he says, return. Return, Israel, to the Lord your God. God says to them, return. Come back. Come home. After everything they've done, God still says, I want you to return. I want you to come home. Come back to me. I still love you. The door is still open and God is calling them. And this is how Hosea ends, with this extraordinary love. And if I could summarize the message of Hosea 14 this morning, it's this. Come home to the God who never stopped loving you. So if you've been wandering away, God says to you, come home to the God who has never stopped loving you. And that's what we're going to see in this final chapter. Here's a quick outline for the talk. One, God's invitation to come home. Two, what will you find when you come home? And three, will you come home? So let's begin with God's invitation. Look at verse 1 again. Return, Israel, to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. Throughout Hosea, this has been what God has been wanting Israel to do, to turn back to him. But we've also felt all this heaviness, this repetition of sin and judgment on Israel. Constantly, they've been turning away in the wrong direction. They've turned to Baal, they've turned to Assyria, they've turned to Egypt, they've turned everywhere except to God. And now God says, return, turn around, come back and come home. That's what the Bible means when it talks about repentance. It is to turn around, to turn around, to turn away from the wrong path you're going and turn back to the right path, to turn toward God. It's not just a feeling of like guilt, feeling guilty and ashamed of the sin. You know, you can feel all these things and do nothing with it. True repentance is a change of direction. It's to stop doing certain things, to start heading in the right direction, to turn back to God. That is true repentance. It's the turnaround. It's about turning back to God. And that's what God says here in verse 1, to turn back to the Lord. God himself is the destination, and that's something really important. It's not a behavioral change merely, but it is a relational change. The relationship with God, where is it at? That is the key. Because Christianity isn't just about better behavior. You know, when the world looks at Christianity and looks at the church, It often hears things about morals and ethics, and this is what Christians are about. They're about rules. But the heart of Christianity is about a relationship. It's about a relationship with God, and it's a turning not just to a religious system, but at its heart, it is about a relationship with God through Christ. And that is what Christianity is about. It's this turning away from this broken relationship to a restored relationship with God. That's what it means to come home. And saying to God, actually, I do need you. I really do need you. And notice why Israel needs to come home. It says, your sins have been your downfall. God is painfully honest, isn't he? Painfully honest with all of us and with Israel. He doesn't pretend that wandering away from God doesn't really matter. It does matter. Their sin has been their downfall. Their sin is destroying them, leading them down a path of destruction. Throughout Hosea, we've been told that they've walked away again and again, away from God who loves them, looking for more security and prosperity and freedom in other places instead of to God. Their sin has been their downfall. And I want us to understand that sin always makes promises it cannot keep. I want us to remember this eternal truth. Sin always leads us to a place and never satisfies what we're ultimately looking for. Sin says, ignore God and you'll be free. Really? What happens? Eventually you become a slave to sin. Doesn't lead to freedom. Sin says, if you can just get enough of this, you'll be finally satisfied. But somehow, enough is never enough. Sin says, you know what's best for your life? And you chase that. You think that's the best for my life? That's where happiness is? And then we discover that actually it was the foolish path. A path that led to destruction. And what Israel needed to learn is that the things they ran to instead of God actually couldn't save them. Verses 2 and 3 show us what genuine returning looks like. It says there, take words with you and return to the Lord. Take words with you and return to the Lord. I love that. God doesn't say, you know, bring me something worthy. Bring me something impressive. He doesn't say, you know what, you've been heading down the wrong path. It's time for you to prove that you're worthy of my love. Fix yourself and then we'll talk. No, he says, take words with you. And I want us to see from these words, you know, just how gracious God is to us. He actually gives Israel the words to say to him. Take words with you. It's almost as though God says, you know, you don't even need to know how to come back to me. But let me help you. I will help you. I will give you the words to say. And here's what to say. Forgive all our sins and receive us graciously. So when you come back to God, that is what you need to say to God. Forgive all our sins and receive us graciously. Not making excuses, not blaming someone else, no pretending that our sin wasn't serious, no bargaining with God. If you do this for me, I'll do this for you. But it's coming just as you are to God with all of your sin and saying, God, forgive me of my sin, of all my sins, and please receive me graciously, Lord. Forgive us and receive us. That is repentance, to come as you are with all of your sin and to call on God to receive you back. But also notice, genuine repentance also means to stop trusting in other things instead of trusting in God. Look at the words that he continues to teach. Verse 3. He says there, say to God, Assyria cannot save us. We will not mount war horses. We will never again say our gods to what our hands have made. What God wanted them to do was to trust in him alone, to stop trusting in other nations like Assyria for their security, to stop trusting in their military strength like war horses, to stop trusting in the idols that they made, to think that these things are the things that are worthy of worship, and to acknowledge that none of these things can save us. Assyria can't save us. Idols can't save us. Only God can save us. Now, before we move on to my next point, I have an important question for all of you to think about for a moment. What do you trust in? Is there something that you trust in instead of God? Really important question. Let's be honest. You might not say some of these things, but these are some of the things that some of us might be thinking. If I can have enough money, I'll be secure. Do you think that? If my career goes well, I'll know that I've succeeded. If my children turn out the way I hope, then I'll be okay. If this relationship works, I'll finally be complete. Who's thought these things before? I've thought many of these things, I'll be honest. And some of these things aren't necessarily bad. They're not necessarily bad things. But even good things can become idols. Especially when we put all of our trust in those things instead of trusting God. And eventually, every false savior lets us down. Because none of those things can save us. Your career can't save you. Your money can't save you. Your reputation can't save you. Your family can't save you. Your achievements can't save you. Nothing that this world offers can save you. Only God can save you. You can't save yourself. And I think that this is part of what it means to come home, to finally stop running from one false savior to another and to admit those things can't save us and to turn back to the God who can save you. There's a wonderful little line at the end of verse 3. It says, for in you the fatherless find compassion. You know, and I want us to just ponder within that verse for a moment, because it's an extraordinary thing to think about, that we have a God who is a father to the fatherless and who is full of compassion, who sees our wandering and sees that we don't really have our true Father in heaven. And he is a God who is full of compassion. When we truly come back to him, he opens his arms widely, and what he wants to do is hug us. We remember the parable of the prodigal son. When the son finally returns, all that the father wants to do is give his son a big hug and welcome him home. And that is who he is, full of compassion. A God who is still saying, come home. Oh, there it is. And so where are you at in your relationship with God? Can I actually come back to God? And God says, yes, you can. Yes, you can come back to God. And God says, please do come back to me. God is saying to you, I still do want you to come home. I still love you. Please return. Now, what will we find when you come back home? This is what it says in Hosea 14, verse 4. I will heal their waywardness and love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them. The first thing that we find is grace. Notice how God speaks. He says, I will heal. And he says, I will love. When you come home, you will receive grace. The emphasis is on what God will do. Several times in this middle chapter, middle verses, God says, I will do this. Israel has spent the whole of Hosea turning away, trusting idols, forgetting God, and yet God says, come back. I will do great things for you. I will heal your waywardness. You know, now that word waywardness, that is so important. Israel's problem is not that they've done wrong things. It's not merely that they've done wrong. They've done many wrong things. But Israel's main problem is that their hearts were always wayward. That is the heart of the problem. That is the heart of sin. This heading in the wrong direction away from God. And God says, I will heal their waywardness. And that's so important. Because God wants to bring us to a place where we realize it's no longer worth heading and trusting in other things apart from God. And for those of us who've been Christians for a while, that is a beautiful thing, isn't it? That we have God's Holy Spirit that convicts us and says, you know what? I'm good. I'm actually good with God. I am secure in my relationship with God. He's the center of my life and he's all that I need. Though everything else around me crumbles away, I have the God who made me, the God who loves me, the God who saves me, the God who gives me eternal life, and I'm good. I don't need to wander anywhere else. I can have joy and peace with God. Then he says, I will love them freely. And that is an amazing word, that word freely. You see, God is free to treat Israel any way that he likes. And he chooses, what does he choose to do? He chooses to love them. He chooses to forgive them. And he says, I will heal you and I will love you and I will restore this relationship with you. And note what he goes on to say, for my anger has turned away from them. And that is, you know, that is extraordinary when you think about all that, you know, Hosea has been saying about Israel chapter after chapter. Israel's sin was real, and God's anger was real, judgment was real, downfall was coming. Their rebellion really didn't matter. But now, God says, when you return, I will turn my anger away. I will no longer be angry with you. I will heal you. I will love you and I will turn my anger away. I will give you grace. So that's the first thing that I want us to realize. What would it be like when you come home? You will receive grace. The second thing that we will receive is life. Verses 5, 6, and 7 is a picture of this flourishing life. Verse 5 says, I will be like the dew to Israel. He will blossom like a lily. Verse 6, his young shoots will grow. Verse 7, they will flourish like the grain and they will blossom like the vine. When they come home, they'll be given grace and they'll be given life. That is the picture that is being painted for us in verses 4 to 8. Dew, blossom, roots, shoots, olive trees, grain, vines, fruit. You know, it's a picture of everything is alive and flourishing and blossoming and growing and fruitfulness. And I can't help but, you know, when you think about this picture of what it will be like when you come home, it's a complete contrast to what Israel's life was like when they wandered away from God. It was like trouble. Trouble after trouble. Nation after nation causing Israel trouble. Yet time and time again, they kept wandering away again and again. And yet, if they'd only known, if they'd gone back to God, what life could have been like. This life of flourishing that is alive. Before was collapse and downfall, now is life. Before was death, and now there is life. God says, I will be like dew to Israel. He's the source of life, God says. He refreshes, he restores, he causes them to grow. And notice what he says, verse 5. Like a cedar of Lebanon, he will send down his roots. There is depth in this life that God gives. There's stability and there is strength. The roots will grow deep and strong like a cedar tree. That is the life that God wants us to have. Then verse 6, his young shoots will grow. You know, there is growth. There is expansion. There's fruitfulness. It's not just this like fighting to survive. That is what Israel has been struggling with for generations, struggling just to survive. But God promises a better life, a restored life, not just survival. Then in verse 8, he brings the whole thing to its point. He says, I am like a flourishing juniper. Your fruitfulness comes from me. Now, I didn't know what a juniper was. It's not really. It's this evergreen tree that has berries that flourishes. And, you know, and it's a beautiful tree, you know, a picture of flourishing growth and fruitfulness. Apparently you can eat them. I've never tried them. Has anyone had junipers before? No? Don't know if they have them in Australia. But this evergreen pine tree with berries. You know, Israel spent their whole life, generation after generation, running away to Assyria and to Baal and other military powers. But God says, your fruitfulness comes from me. Your fruitfulness comes from me. And I want us to realize this morning that this is an eternal truth that we all need to realize. That fruitfulness comes from God. Where are you looking for fruitfulness? Your fruitfulness comes from me, God says. So when Israel comes home, they will find grace and they'll find life, a fruitful life from God. But that raises a question. How is it possible that God can welcome sinners like this? How can he say, I will love them freely? How can he say that he will turn his anger away? Does he suddenly just go, you know what? I don't care about your sin anymore. That doesn't matter. Just come back. Like, why would God not do something with the sin? Does he just ignore it? No. And this is where Hosea points us into the future to Jesus. God sent Jesus into the world for wanderers like you and me. At the cross, Jesus took the judgment our sins deserved. God didn't ignore sin. He didn't say your sin doesn't matter, but he deals with it. He sends his son Jesus to deal with our sin, to bear our sins upon himself, to take the guilt and the shame and all of our rebellion and all of our wandering away, and he takes it upon himself. So the grace that he promises and the life that he promises, it's not cheap. It is the grace that he purchases on the cross through the blood of his son. Jesus bears the judgment for us so that we can receive that grace and that life. Jesus rises so that we can be brought home to God. The call of Hosea chapter 14 to return to God is similar to the call of Jesus himself. In Matthew 11, Jesus says, come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Have you been looking and striving for something else in life that ultimately only God can provide? Are you tired of wandering away from God? Maybe tired of struggling with sin or tired of all that sin brings in this broken life and wishing and hoping, why can't it be easier? Well, Jesus says, come. Come to me. Come to me. And what will Jesus give us when we come to him? He says, I will give you rest. So what will we find when we come to God? We'll find grace and we'll find life and we'll find rest because we will be right with God. We will have peace with God through Jesus. That is the God that we're coming home to, a God who wants to give you grace and life and rest. So that leaves us with one final question, my final point. Will you come home? Wherever you're at, if you're heading in the wrong direction, taking steps away from God, today is a message especially for you to stop taking another step away from God and to repent, to turn back and to take a step toward God. Look at the final verse of chapter 14. Who is wise? Let them realize these things. Who is discerning? Let them understand. The ways of the Lord are right, the righteous walk in them, but the rebellious stumble in them. It's an interesting way to finish the book, isn't it? Will you be wise? Or will you stumble? Will you realize what God has been saying to you this morning and come home to him? Or will you stumble? Will you not be wise? Will you discern or will you miss it? Will you listen and respond? What will you do? Will you come home is the question. Verse 9 says, the ways of the Lord are right. The wise person doesn't merely understand that, but it says they walk in God's ways. The righteous walk in God's ways. They choose to walk in God's ways. And that's important because we can listen to a book like Hosea and go, I understand it. And yet we do nothing with it. Well, friends, it's time to come home. It's time to do something with it, right? It's time to be wise. It's time to act. We spent the whole series in Hosea watching Israel wander away from God. We watched them chase after other lovers. That is the whole point of the opening chapters. When God calls Hosea to marry this unfaithful woman, because that is what Israel were like, chasing after other lovers. Will we do that? Will we actually listen to what Hosea has been saying? Or will we be the same as Israel? Or will we turn back to God? We've watched them trust other things, look for saviors in other places. But God says, come back home. Come back home. Stop wandering away. Stop chasing after idols. So let me exhort you one final time. Don't let this book of Hosea just be information, but do something with it. End this series with a decision. Make a decision this morning. I've been wandering away for too long now. I've been drifting for too long now. This morning, I will make a decision. I will put my trust in God. And I'll stop taking steps away from God. Stop resisting and stop pushing God away. Will you come home to God who has never stopped loving you? Will you come home? Let's pray. Lord, it's been a heavy book for Hosea. Full of sin, full of people wandering away from you and wandering towards things of this world, looking for security in everywhere but you, God. We've seen Israel do this chapter after chapter. But Lord, this book is a mirror into our lives, into our hearts. And the call that you put to Israel is a call that you put to us this morning. And you call us to come home. So Lord, now I just pray for everyone who's been wandering away from you, that you'd change their hearts. Change their hearts now. This very moment, Lord, work in their lives, God. Help them to see your love, to feel your love that is still waiting for them, Lord. Help them to see it's not worth wandering away from you again and again, Lord. Help them to know, God, you're still waiting. Ready to embrace them, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.